Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Today is Remembrance Day. It would be hard to live in England and forget that it was Remembrance Day, but there may be those that do. It is a special day for England, and I think it's for the entire British realm, and they set aside this day to pay tribute to those that have sacrificed for the nation in time of war. This one is particularly special because of the 100th anniversary of World War I, the war that was supposed to end all wars. Since we have been in England, I have been struck at the way this nation remembers the past. It is all around you. In every town you visit, every village or city, there are monuments that are erected, usually in the center of towns, a lot of times to those that have died in World War I, but they may be to other wars, monuments to those that have done good things for the land, and even monuments of natural things that have taken place over the course of time. I think that Britain in general remembers the past to a better degree than any place that I've ever been. I've lived in the U.S., but I've also visited a great many places, and it seems to me that this nation does a fantastic job of remembering the things that have gone on before. It is something, though, that it recalls to my mind a song that was performed by an artist named Michael W. Smith. The song was called Living and Learning, and that's a common phrase that people say that we should be living and learning, you know, live and learn. It's not hard to figure out what the song was about, but I remember someone commenting to me that it was a good song and a true song because we live and learn, and I responded and said, I hope that we do, because people live, but they don't always learn. They sometimes remember the past, but they don't always learn from the past. The reason that I mentioned that particular song in light of Remembrance Day is to ask the question, do we live and learn? Or do we just go on living? Do we learn from maybe mistakes that we've made or mistakes that others have made? And we can think of it in the course of wars that the society does that. There will be those that will live today and think of peace marches because they don't want to see a war again. There will be those that will think of strengthening the military so that we don't have to worry about dictators that have gone on before. But what I mean is more specific than that. You see, this nation has a rich and varied history, not only in the monuments that you see from the wars that have gone on before, but it also has a great history in the things of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have time to tell you of all of those that God has used in the history of this nation for his gospel's sake. If I say their names, images of them and what they've done may spring to mind. People such as Owen, Spurgeon, Whitfield, Wesley, both Charles and John, Christmas Evans, John Gill, Martin Lloyd-Jones, Matthew Henry, J.C. Ryle. There's so many names that are it's basically a who's who of theologians and preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question comes, though, is what have we learned from that history? Have we forgotten the old paths, the things that were taught by those men? J.C. Ryle compiled a book with just that title called The Old Paths. It's a book I highly recommend to anyone to read. It combines a number of pamphlets that he wrote over the course of his ministry, and they focus invariably on salvation. That's the broad subject that it covers, and there's many very, very minute things that he'll cover in that. But it's a fantastic book, and it focuses on the blood of Jesus Christ shed for his people. He takes that title from our portion of scripture tonight, here in Jeremiah chapter 6. And even though we're surrounded by so many reminders of the past, and especially today, the question becomes, have we forgotten the old paths? just as the people in Jeremiah's day had. Because the people in Jeremiah's day, they had an incredible history that was before them at all times. The tomb of David, the temple of Solomon, there were so many reminders of the past, of what God had done for them. And yet they forgot it. They neglected those old paths. And the question becomes, what have we done with the past? Have we forgotten the teachings of so many others? Have we forgotten the simple things of God? The old paths. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. So I'm going to ask you to look at Jeremiah chapter 6, and just two verses in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. You know, it's an important thing whenever you're going somewhere to know where you're going, to know where your destination is. God is telling the people, look for the old paths. The old paths are important. I want you to seek those things out and walk in those things. Find out from whoever you have to speak to where these old paths are. And so the Lord is the one speaking here. And that's an important thing, because the Lord invariably will go and talk and send forth a prophet to speak forth His word. And that's what He's doing here with Jeremiah. Now the sad thing for Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, because he was told at the beginning of his ministry that you're going to preach for years. And I believe his ministry was 40 years that he preached in Jerusalem. But he was told at the beginning of it that, Jeremiah, you're going to preach my word and you're going to call the people back to the law, but they are not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear what you have to say. They're not going to listen to the trumpet. They're not going to look for the old paths. They're going to keep straying away, and you're going to be persecuted for my namesake. And Jeremiah, you still have to preach my word. And so that's what Jeremiah does. And you see this here. It's the Lord speaking through Jeremiah. And the Lord says, seek out the things that this nation, that Israel was founded upon. Seek out my book. Seek out my word. Find those things. And when you find those things, walk in those things. Walk in the very things that I've been telling you about for so long. And it's God speaking to them here, Jehovah speaking. And you think about this, and He's saying, take account. Look around you. Because He says here, ask for the old paths. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. What is He asking? Look around. Look at what's going on in the world. For Jeremiah, for the people in Jerusalem, they were going to be conquered very soon, and the for lack of a better phrase, the writing was on the wall. It was clear that this was going to happen. Sin had taken over. And God says to him, look around at what is going on around you. This is not a time of comfort. This is not a time of peace. He, in just a few verses beforehand, he says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The false prophets had come and they said, everything's okay. You don't have to worry about it. Everything is good. The economy's doing well. We're all secure. Everybody's got their nice house. We've got plenty of food. No worries. And God says, no, you don't understand. You may feel like you're dwelling in peace physically, but there's no peace spiritually. And that's the more important of the two. And so he says, look and take account of what's going on. And we can do that today, and we can see the state of things. And yes, the economy may be picking up. Jobs may be going up. There may be wonderful things taking place. But look at society. Look at the sin that's rampant. Look at the evil things that are called good, and the good things that are called evil. The name of Christianity is thrown in the mud. They're intolerant. When the name of Christianity used to be what ruled this nation. now it's seen as bad. And those things that Christianity used to say are bad are now lifted up as a high standard. As these things are good. Aborting unborn children. Homosexuality. Adultery. Alcoholism. All of these things are lifted up and they're praised. And this is what people do. It's what society says is good. This nation has forgotten the old paths. It's forgotten what it used to know. It knows it no longer. And it's incumbent upon everyone that hears the word of God to take account of that. To take account of what's going on. Of what's happening around you. And then not only to take account of what's going on around you, but ask for the good way. You see that? He says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Seek it out. Search for it." You know, the Bible teaches that God's word is written on our hearts. It's not something that's far from us. It's something that we ought to hear. We have a conscience when we're born. But today people sear that conscience, don't they? Push it further and further away. That's why days like today are good. Because they bring to mind the fact that we are a sinful people. Because only sin could cause the wars that have taken place throughout the centuries. That we need something greater. That we're not capable of changing things on our own. But tomorrow people will forget all about it. Tomorrow people will be going about their daily lives because they haven't asked for the good way. They haven't asked for the old paths. They haven't sought those things out. They haven't sought out the people that know it. And they go about their way. So when you think about that, that's almost an outline for us. Take account of things. Well, the first thing we ought to take account of is our sin. Our sinful nature. Jeremiah 17, later on, Jeremiah writes this and says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So the question becomes, what is my heart about? Well, it's deceitful and wicked. It constantly fools people into thinking that I'm okay. That I've grown up under the right system, that I've grown up under the right teaching, and therefore I'm all right. But the problem is the Lord searches the hearts. He tries things. He knows things that we don't even know. And he tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, have come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not making the standard. That's not making it where we ought to be. When we take account of things, when we look around and consider where we're standing, the first place we need to look is at ourselves and see our sinfulness. And recognize that I've sinned just as God has told me that I've sinned. But the difficulty that comes with that is the wages of sin. In Romans 6, he says the wages of sin is death. That's a physical death as well as a spiritual death. That's the thing that boggles my mind about this nation and about its fascination with history. There's so much of it. And I absolutely love history. So it's not a criticism of saying they shouldn't enjoy history. I love history. But you have to learn from it. You have to study it and learn something from it. Not just study it for the joy of studying it. Not just remember it for the sake of remembering it. No, learn from what's taking place. Learn from the fact that there were so many millions that died in World War I. And even more that died in World War II. What is the fate of all men? We're all going to die. There's going to come that day when we all die, unless Jesus Christ returns first. It's promised to us. Why? Because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. We're going to die physically. And unless we have eternal life through the blood of Christ, we're going to die. We're going to be dead spiritually. And if you combine those two things, for eternity, that is a truly sad state. But that same statement in Romans 6, where it says the wages of sin is death, says, but the gift of God. That but is one of the best words in the entire scriptures. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's an amazing statement. So you say, you go back to Jeremiah 16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein. But what's the good way according to the scriptures? It is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. That's why I read that from Isaiah chapter 35. There is a way. It's called the way of righteousness. The redeemed shall walk there. Well, there are so many scriptures I could just go through and spend a lot of time going through just those scriptures about Jesus Christ being the way. Before Christians were called Christians, they were called people of the way. Throughout the book of Acts, you see that. They follow the way. They follow the way. And then in Antioch, they were first called Christians. What were they speaking about? Well, they were speaking about Jesus Christ. He says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is that way. And when you read that, you have to say, well, he's either the way or he's nothing. Because there's no in between, is there? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's an either true statement or it's a false statement. If it's a false statement, you don't have to listen to anything Christ says. If it's a true statement, you need to consider the old paths. Because this is the old path. This is the only path. As he says in Matthew 7, which we studied a number of months ago, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's a narrow way. Why? Because it's just Christ. It's Him alone. It's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not Allah, it's not any of the thousands of Hindu gods. It's not Confucius. It's certainly not atheism. It's not socialism. It's not a good economy. And it's certainly not me adding my works to Christ, which so many religious systems do, like Catholicism. That's not the way of things. The way of things is Jesus Christ. He is the way. And if He's the way, if it cost Jesus Christ His life, then how can we think that adding something to it, adding my help onto it, is worth enough to do anything? Because if my help is needed, then Jesus Christ didn't need to come. If I have some power in and of myself to gain anything with God spiritually, then Jesus Christ didn't need to die. It's either He's enough or He's not enough. But He's enough. It's a narrow way. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people going down that road. And it's a sad state. We go back to Jeremiah chapter 6, and look what Jeremiah says. It's amazing when you think about it. We've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. We've gone through some things that remind you so much of Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. So he says, find the good way, and then follow the good way. Walk in that path. But not only that, he promises you something. Listen to what he promises you. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like something Jesus Christ has said. Over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, did you catch that in there? What Jeremiah says about following the old paths, about the good way and walking therein? What does God promise you? It's the same thing that Jesus Christ promises you. You find rest for your souls. That's God's gift. It's God's gift of Jesus Christ. But listen to man's response, and it's man's response in Jeremiah's day is the same response that goes on today. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It wasn't a question of, I don't believe it. It wasn't a question of anything else except, I don't want to. I'm enjoying what I have too much. I don't want to do what you're asking, God. But they said, we will not walk therein. Their will was opposed to God. They had no desire to follow God. How is it any different today? People today are doing the same exact thing. They're saying, we will not walk therein. That's okay for you. I don't want it. It's okay for you. I don't want it. Because they don't take account of things. They don't look around and see. They remove death too far away. They said, I'm not gonna hear that anymore. I don't want to think about death. I don't want to think about those things. And I'll put my poppy on and I'll remember things in a good way for a day. And I'll think of all those people for a day so that tomorrow I don't have to remember it anymore. So that I could live about my life without considering that one day I will die, just like those people that died. You know, it's a fascinating thing. I was watching a little bit of coverage about the Battle of Malta today. And there was an in-depth coverage on BBC about the Battle of Malta. And there was a fighter pilot who was fighting in the air above Malta for a couple of years. But one of the things that he remembered and brought tears to his eyes was one day he was walking down a street and he said everything was covered in rubble. And as he's walking down the street, an air raid siren goes off. And so he's trying to find the closest shelter. And he says he starts to run towards the shelter and he sees a woman that is running, scared for her life, as fast as she could towards the shelter. And he said, in my mind, I knew that if she ran in the shelter at that speed, because the shelters were down limestone stairs, that she was going to go in that shelter and she was going to fall and she was going to get hurt. And he said, I ran as hard as I could and I yelled for her to stop before she ran into that shelter and I couldn't get to her in time. He said, as soon as I went into that shelter and went down those stairs, she was laying at the bottom dead. And it brought tears to his eyes. And people hear that story and it's an awful story. And he wished he could have grabbed her and stopped her from going down those stairs at that speed. But do we stop and consider that every one of us is fated for that? We're all fated for the same thing. Each one of us are going to die. But we don't want to hear that. They said, we will not walk therein. But see, God gives a second gift. Not only did God give the gift of Jesus Christ, He gave watchmen. Listen to what it says in verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Now, in Jeremiah's day, these watchmen are on the walls. And he's saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. That's the imagery that he's saying. There's the enemy is out there. And the trumpeter is supposed to call you to battle, to fight. That's the idea, that the imagery that he's using. But what God is saying here is, I've given you the prophets. I've given you Jeremiah. I've given you others. These are the watchmen that are saying, you're straying from the old paths. You're straying away from what I've said. They're calling you back. They're calling you to me. What's their response? It's the same response. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not listen. We're going to ignore those trumpet calls, despite the enemy that's out there. And that's what we do today. It's no different today. God has given the gift of Jesus Christ, but the scriptures teach us that He's also given gifts to the churches. What are those gifts? Well, at first, they are apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. He's given gifts. They're the men. They're the people that preach the gospel. That's the gift that he's given, and they're blowing the trumpet. And they're saying, and they're calling you back to the old paths. And people are saying, we're not going to listen. We're not going to hearken. We're not going to hear what's being said. Why? Because we want what we want. We like what we like. I'm happy in my life. I've got enough. And we're not going to notice that the enemy is out there, that sin is rampant in the nation. We're not going to notice that sin is rampant in our lives. And we're not even going to take account of the fact that everyone that's gone before us has died. Every single one. Now, it may be through something different. It may be like that woman falling down the stairs. It might be like that fighter pilot who will maybe die in his bed. He's not dead yet. It may be like the fighter pilots that he shot out of the air. It may be like the fighter pilots who ran out of fuel and crashed into the sea. No matter how tragic the death is, death comes to us all. It doesn't stop at the door, regardless of age. But they said, we will not hearken. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not. Not, I'm not going to believe it, but I don't want it. Not, it's not true, but I don't want it. It's for you, not for me. So do you know the old paths? When you sit back on a Remembrance Day, when you sit back and you consider the things that have happened in the many ages past, whether it's at Attic Castle, or whether it's World War I, or World War II, or the Tudors, whatever it might be, do you consider the fact that every one of those things, every one of those people that you read about in the history books, has died? Why did they die? Well, the cause of death is varied. It may be a sword, it may be a gun, it may be falling down a set of stairs. But the true cause is sin. So do you consider what's going on around? Do you know the old paths? Do you know the only path? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you hear the trumpet warning you? Do you say, I don't want to listen? You say, I will not listen. Or are you going to go and you're going to walk in that path? Remember those that have gone before you. Remember their deaths. Learn from it. You know, I'm sure there are some that would hear this and say, you're so morbid. There are many preachers, many that I've mentioned earlier. Spurgeon, there's a famous story of Spurgeon taking his two sons and he took them on an outing. And he took them to a cemetery. He took them to a graveyard. And he said, sons, I want you to measure these graves. And see, not every one of them is 6 foot long. There are those that are 3 foot long. What does a cemetery teach us? God judges sin. He judges each of our sins. Has he judged it in Jesus Christ, or is he going to judge it on you? That's the question we ask. And so we point you to Jesus Christ and his blood, which is the only way.